You're listening to Let's Talk, Episode 14, brought to you by the SQPN StarQuest Production Network. Howdy all and welcome. It's Father Corey Stika here again with Let's Talk, our SQPN community podcast. This week I've got a couple of people who are probably known by the SQPN community, but in case you haven't, you'll get a chance to meet them and find out about all about them. Welcome Deacon Tom and Dee Fox. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Father, we're great. We're happy to be here.
Father, well, good to be with you. Thank you for the joy and honor of joining your show.
Oh, glad to have you guys here. And, you know, you guys are known to the podcast community because you guys have been doing a podcast for a while. And we'll talk about that. That's kind of why we invited you. But before we get into actually talking about your podcast, why don't you introduce yourselves for those who may not know you and may not have heard of you. So, Dee, why don't you go first? Why don't you start the story? Let ladies first.
Well, I'm the lovely Dee. that's how Pat Gohan's voice introduces us at the start of our podcast. I don't know how they got started, but it is stuck.
So, all right. Yes. Well, and I'm the deacon, or once in a while the deek. Nice. Somebody will send an email to us, and we've been married for lots and lots and lots of years.
Over 50 years.
Wow, congratulations. That's fantastic.
Thank you.
And we met in Washington, D.C., and I was in the computer industry, and it moved us an awful lot. And Dee says now that the anchor is down in Arizona.
I've moved so many times, I think I could do it in my sleep.
Oh, I know the feeling. I that's kind of been my life too, so I understand completely. It's nice when you can finally get a home that you can settle in. Now, what part of Arizona are you guys in?
We're in a little mountain town called Payson. It's about an hour and a quarter drive from Scottsdale, north of Scottsdale.
We're up in the mountains at 5,000 feet, and so we beat the heat by 20 degrees or so, and a lot of people from the valley, we call it, will come up this way and spend the weekend here.
Yeah, this time of year, the weekends are crazy with traffic going through our town.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure. You know, of course, I'm much further north than you guys up in Montana, but I'm also a little lower elevation than you, so it must feel pretty nice when it's 100 degrees plus in Phoenix, and you guys are. It's in your 80s and pretty comfortable.
Yeah, we have a daughter that lives down in Scottsdale. So we, you know, she texts back and forth. What's the temperature up there?
Which sounds better, being down there or up? Yeah. What's your winters like then? You guys must have some little bit harder winters.
It's really kind of mild. We do get some snow. We get a little dusting of snow now and then. We did hear from the old folks here in town that long before we moved here, they had a snow one time that was like 30 inches. But ooh, that's very, very rare.
Yeah.
We're lucky. Last winter, we hardly had any snow.
Yeah. So very tolerable. And we enjoy for sure this area. We moved from Colorado. I'm not really sure if in my little short narrative I covered that. We were up in Colorado. I was ordained by Archbishop Charles Chaput. Then in the Archdiocese of Denver, wonderful leader for the diocese at that time. And we were blessed to be a part of the new surge of faith, the graces left over from World Youth Day in 93.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, no kidding. Now that there's so many movements here in the United States came out of that World Youth Day event. And, you know, we'll talk a little later on kind of about your story of becoming a deacon. It sounds like it'd be a very fascinating one. But what I'd like to talk about first is your podcast. You know, of course, you're on a podcast, and we're, you know, kind of on opposite sides of the microphone now, so to speak. Last week, I kind of had that experience with Jimmy Akin and Dom Bettinelli. Dom usually leads our podcast here on SQPN, and so it was kind of a different experience. Why don't you tell us about Catholic Vitamins? Where did that idea come from?
Well, I'd like to start the beginning of it by saying that I have been attending Franciscan University summer retreat and conference for priests and deacons for 13 years now. And in 2009, I had the pleasure of going to that retreat. I happened to meet a priest who had been ordained for, at that time, about 60 hours.
Wow.
And he told us his story of having had a profound experience in adoration.
As a teenager.
He had been forced on a bus by his parents to to attend a Franciscan University youth event. And I think it was in Michigan, if I remember correctly. But when he got there, he found that he was able to enjoy himself and have fun. And he went to adoration, and he had this profound change of heart. Grace has just overflowed in him. He began sobbing, and he just really didn't understand what was happening. But it was the beginning of his journey, which ultimately led to his being ordained a priest.
Wow.
That's awesome. And the power of that transformation stuck with me as I picked up D after the retreat, and we went to San Antonio.
We went to the CNMC, first one we'd ever gone to.
The Catholic New Media Conference.
Sure.
And that story about adoration stayed with me. And on the way back from the wonderful retreat, we got to meet a lot of podcasters and groupies.
Oh, yes.
We were a groupie.
yeah, we were. Exactly. That's exactly right. That's exactly why we went. Yeah. On the way back, the two favorite positions for our long drives are I'm driving and Dee is sleeping. And I was thinking about podcasting and thinking that perhaps we could do a podcast, but I had no idea what we could do. And we certainly weren't as talented or as conversant as many of the others who were the foremothers of early podcasting. But somehow the idea of a vitamin came to me, faith vitamins, and then it clicked with adoration, excuse me, and vitamin A for adoration became the idea. And I mentioned this to Dee, we could do a podcast. And she said, what would we talk about? What could we possibly talk about? And I said, well, vitamin A could be adoration, and B, maybe that could be beauty in the church, and C, what could be C, conversion, because I was still thinking about that priest. And so our first guest was Father Mark Rutherford from Michigan.
Oh, sure.
And he told that story on our first show, and that began our process of putting together shows that were vitamin oriented. I will tell you that we have really had to stretch. There have been some unusual words.
It wasn't very long before we ran out of X words too.
Sure.
So we just turned it into extra.
There you go. Now, how long have you been doing the podcast?
We're just finishing up 8 years. We're just getting ready to start 9 years in like a week.
Oh, you're starting 9 years, and you're starting a new cycle of letters, as I've
exactly heard. We're starting it. We're in starting the 15th round of the alphabet.
15 rounds A to Z. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Our next guest will be an actress. I'm just going to tease a little bit. Our next guest will be an actress who has turned her acting and voice talents into a group of similarly inclined people who are on fire for the faith, and they want to go to parishes and help people to come on fire for their Catholic faith.
Well, that's awesome. So, that's awesome. I look forward to hearing it. Now, I just listened to last week's episode that you'd put out, and you said you're a little bit of a break before you start the next one. When do you think the new episode will come out?
We may do it next weekend.
I think next weekend. So probably it'll be posted the weekend of, what, the 25th, 26th.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Look forward to hearing it. And this podcast will be out. So people listening, you'll have something to watch for on the Catholic Vitamins website. And
great. Maybe our numbers will jump up, huh?
There we go. I'm hoping by having you guys on that our numbers will go up too.
Bless you.
You're so kind.
Bless you.
Hey, I want to add that before we started ours, before we went to the CNMC in 2009, we had discovered some SQPN podcast probably around 2005.
Mm-hmm. I would say so, yeah.
I think we started listening to Greg and Jennifer.
Oh, excellent.
Father Roderick.
Right.
And, Paul Camerata with St. Cast.
Oh, yes.
And then Mac and Catherine when they started their Catholic in a Small Town. So we were listening to all these podcasts, had been for several years before we went to the CNMC. That's why I said we were really groupies.
Oh, yeah.
We wanted to meet all these people.
Well, you're listening pretty much from the beginning because I think it was about 2005 when SQPN really got started.
Right.
You know, as a separate organization, you know, versus, of course, you know, Greg and Jennifer's Rosary Army and things like that. So, yeah, you've been listening to SQPN pretty much from the start. And indeed, you know, you'd reminded me, mentioned on your podcast, your recent episode that reminded me that we had met at the Atlanta CNMC.
We did. I just looked that up. I was trying to remember what year it was. It was 2015.
That was our last one. And I don't know if you've heard, but we are looking into doing another CNMC. It'll be a little bit different. It won't be quite the conference format, but it should be a lot of fun coming in this winter. It'll be we can't say where it is yet, but it's going to be a little closer to you guys. That's all I can say.
Oh, nice. Usually they've been so far away from us.
Yeah, that was kind of my reaction too. It's like, we need to do a little bit more west, but anyways.
Well, I managed to do the Atlanta one because I'd previously been in Pennsylvania visiting my elderly mother and my family. And so then I just came down from Pennsylvania
to
Atlanta, kind of planned it that way.
So when you look back, your 9 years of podcasting, what are some episodes that really stood out? What are some ones that, you know, like off the top of your head that you would say these are the ones to listen to because they were just, you know, excellent podcast, excellent interviews, whatever.
You know, we were thinking about that earlier and, I kind of picked one for me and you picked one, didn't you, Tom?
Well, I guess there are several. Interviewed Marcus Grody when he came out with a book about his life on a farm. Most of us associate him with the Coming Home Network and from his
Journey Home
on EWTN and on EWTN Radio. He, along with his wife, I guess they got a small plot of land that they inherited and then they added to it. And some of the stories that he told talk about God's great providence and love of creation for mankind. And then some of the experiences that Marcus had, this sounds terrible. The outcome is better than the beginning of this, but he had a story in there about a young calf that slid on the ice, the Ohio freezing weather, and was frozen to the ice laying on its side. And they had to, free the animal, which was really tough to do given that it was still frozen, and then get it into the barn. And it was sick for, I guess, weeks before it finally began to recover its strength. They had another cow that they called, it was T-Bone, which gave some indication of what the future was for it.
Exactly. But,
So that would be my one thing that comes to mind. There's many for sure.
And I think one of mine is, it's hard to pick a favorite, it really is, but one of mine is Steve Ray. Everybody knows who Ray is. And he's so upbeat and so on fire and just listening to his conversion story. And I mean, it was a great podcast also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Steve Ray, he's one I've personally met, and he is a great guy. I mean, just so outgoing and so on fire. You know, and it's kind of funny. I was laughing as you were talking about the cow story there, Deacon. It was I've, of course, living in Montana, there are more cattle in my county than there are people, so I understand completely. And yeah, many of them do end up as T-bones. Let's be honest about that.
Are you out in the field blessing them?
Not so much, but it probably should be, you know. I got a lot more cows in my parish than I have people, so.
Do you cover more than one parish?
I do.
More than one, do you?
I do. I've got, all told, I've got six parishes that I am responsible as pastor, only three of which I actually, on a week-to-week basis, serve, because I've got a second priest who handles an Indian reservation nearby. So,
Father, if we have time, I just want to mention some of the names of people that we've had on that have been a great blessing to us.
Please do.
Dr. John Bergsma is one of the very popular professors at Franciscan University, and he has a number of books. He's a great scripture scholar. I've met him multiple times on the campus of Franciscan. He's been on our show three or four times.
Nice.
Dr. Ralph Martin was on for a mini interview from Renewal Ministries.
Excellent.
Sister Kathleen Glavich, strangely unknown name for many people, but she's written something like 40 books on a wide variety of topics ranging from scripture, the Psalms, Catholic prayers, just a very prolific author. Dee mentioned Steve Ray. We've had bishops and priests. And one of the things that I enjoy, both Dee and I love music a lot, and we've had some mostly Catholic singers and musicians on. Audrey Assad, wonderful singer, has been on maybe three times.
Wow.
He's been a good friend. Daniel Rose has been a good friend to Catholic Vitamins. She's been on a couple times, and she's done some promos for us. Matthew Bowdy. So we've really been blessed far beyond anything that we would have thought about when we were starting Catholic Vitamins. And sometimes I think that longevity has allowed us to reach people that it wouldn't be any talent we've had or anything like that. It's just when somebody sees that we've been on the air for 7 or 8 years, they go, well, maybe this is something we should get on.
Well, that's great.
And then we kind of got on the mailing list of a lot of publishers, book publishers.
Sure.
And so they were sending us books. And so a lot of times, a lot of the authors that we interviewed were as a result of that. We've also had some unusual groups. Remember, Barefoot for Babies.
Oh, yeah. there's a group of students in Greeley, Colorado, and I forget how I found out about it, but a group of students who, before winter, agreed to do, I think it was 30 days of wearing no shoes to raise money. People would donate money for pro-life in the Greeley, Colorado area. What a wonderful idea for students to do. And so we interviewed some people from that that effort. And we've had what we call stories down the pew. We have found some unusual stories, or at least interesting stories, from people that are in our parish that if we hadn't discovered their little story or their share, we would miss an opportunity to share the faith with our listeners. And one
of our earlier stories was a couple that we had met early on after we moved here, and they raised 13 children in their life.
And
wow.
So we got to interview them about their moves. They had a lot of geographic moves and how close they were as family. And the faith was always important. They prayed the rosary together in the evening, and very traditional Catholic family.
Wow.
So we've enjoyed sharing those kind of stories as well, Father.
That's great. Yeah. I've heard people say, oh, yeah, we're raising a baseball team. Heck, they're going for a football team.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
No, that's. I mean, it sounds like you've had a lot of great experiences, a lot of great interviews, and you know. I also heard that you're on your local Catholic radio station now too. How long have you guys been doing that?
Well, I think Dee posted the number 39 for the last show that we put on there. And Father, if I may, again, I don't want to take too much time, but
we got it.
Another blessing that has come about in our life. I guess we're going to talk about the diaconate and I'll share. But what happened is I became on fire in my heart, and Dee joined with me in wanting to help evangelize. And Catholic Vitamins was one small, very small effort at doing that. But I've written some columns and done reflections on the World Wide Web. But we, three men and I, met for pizza one evening. We were talking about something that we could do outside of the church. And one of the fellows mentioned Catholic radio that had been important to him in Florida before he moved to our community. And as soon as he said the words Catholic radio, it was as if the Lord put on my heart, I want you to do this. Try it. Sure. And the four of us had nothing to do with any great electronic experience or certainly no radio broadcasting.
You knew nothing about nothing, right?
Yeah. We didn't know what we didn't know. And there's some wonderful stories of God's grace working to help us. And it's been on the air for about 2.5 years now. We wanted to do some local programming in the community. So one of the things that we've done is to put Catholic Vitamins on there. Mm-hmm. And we're beginning to get some feedback there. So that's kind of nice.
Well, that's awesome. I firmly believe, of course, obviously I believe in podcasting, you know, what we can do through podcasting, but also Catholic radio. My own story involves Catholic radio. You know, why I'm a priest today really started with, you know, EWTN's feed there in the, I was living in the St. Louis area at the time. And, you know, without Catholic radio, I don't know if I would be here today sitting as a priest. So I applaud you for that effort because I think it's something very important to get that out there. Of course, you know, now with satellite radio, it helps a lot get it even wider, but it's nice to have the local station too, where people can just hit the FM button and pick up the local radio. So that's fantastic.
So, Father, would you be willing to be a guest on Catholic Vitamins sometime?
Oh, I think we could trade. I think we could trade. That would work. You guys are willing to come visit with me, and I'd be glad to come join you guys as well. You guys got a wonderful podcast there. Obviously, hopefully, you have many more years doing the Catholic Vitamins.
Well, we look at each other every time and go, how many more years are we going to be doing this?
we would not be the, I'll use you, young Father Corey, or the Greg and Jennifer sort of people that have developed, you know, great followings and people who are interested in what you're doing. You know, we're just not that sort of people, but I think I may have said to you, I know I've said in a few emails, that we just put it out there and let the Lord help anybody find it that needs to find it.
That's all. I mean, ultimately, that's all we can do. We can promote it and whatever else, but you know what? We just let God do the work. That's why, you know, that's why we're here. You know, even, you know, Let's Talk here with this podcast, it's, you know, ultimately it's promote God's word and let him do the work. Yeah, so this sounds like a good place to take a break. So I want to take a moment right now to thank you again for listening to Let's Talk. Let's Talk, of course, is our SQPN community podcast, and it's one of a number of podcasts that we have either revamped and rebooted or are starting new. We have a number of podcasts that are brand new to SQPN, such as Jimmy Akin's Mysterious World, which I had the opportunity to listen to the first two episodes the other day, and they're excellent, excellent podcasts, very much worth your time listening to. So I want to encourage you to check that out. Keep an eye on sqpn.com for all of our new podcasts, all our new stuff that's coming out, because we do have stuff that is underway right now that we are in the process of recording that we will then bring out here in the near future. While you're at sqpn.com, at our website, check out sqpn.com/survey, where we have a listener survey where we'd like to get input from you on what you think you would be interested in hearing. We want to learn more about you. We want to use your input to develop new shows as well as to reach new audiences. So please do take a look at that again, sqpn.com/survey. And if you take this survey, if you take the time to give us your input, you will be put into a drawing for one of two $50 Amazon gift cards. So two of our survey takers will be lucky enough to win a $50 gift card each. So please do, again, check out that survey at sqpn.com/survey. So now we've talked about your podcast, why don't we talk about your other ministry, the ministry we've been mentioning pretty much throughout this entire interview, that of the diaconate. The diaconate is something, the permanent diaconate, I should say, is something in the church that is both new and old, I think is a good way to put it. it's new and as we express it today, but it's as old as the church itself. So Deacon Tom, why don't you talk a little bit about what has been your experience as a deacon? Well, you know, how do you see the diaconate in your life?
Gosh, maybe two or three or four shows.
I'm sure.
But I guess I would start by saying it was a priest in Florida when we were in Florida who helped me begin a journey back to meaningful faith practice. I had been at that time a cultural, relaxed, independent thinking Catholic. the expression that we have heard now quite a bit is cafeteria Catholic. So we started going to this parish in Florida, and I was very much taken by the humble but strong faith priest that we came to meet. His name is Father Pat
O'Doherty. Irish, of course.
Oh, yes.
Father Pat O'Doherty. And he is in Ocala, in a wonderful parish. And one of the early comments that he made from the pulpit was, my name is Father Pat, and I'm a recovering sinner. And I had some awareness of 12-step terminology, and I thought I was pretty sure that he must have had some experience where he was speaking 12-step wording. And it turned out to be that he had had a problem earlier in his priesthood, and he had to recover from that. God's grace helped him to recover from it. But he was a wonderful example of a priest. He was in the hospitals and nursing homes and jails, and I accompanied him on prison visits a couple times. And at that time, I was beginning to get very involved in his parish. And I assumed that that what the diaconate meant was I would get a chance to be more involved in doing things in the parish. The servant of God, Catherine Doherty from Madonna House, wrote someplace, "What we do is important, but not too much. What we are, how we live, is far more important." And the first grace that I would say that came from 4 years of formation, Father, is that it was a great help in changing my heart and my thinking, that it wasn't so much what you do as the heart that you have for it and the love of the church and God's people. And so we had a wonderful formation. It was 4 years in length up in Denver. I've mentioned that previously. And I want to salute Dee. She never missed a class. She came to every weekend. And they were allowed during testing to go out and leave the building.
Yeah, they think we went shopping, but we joked about going shopping. But what we did was a group of us, we always went to the Catholic bookstore.
There you go.
Yeah. So I remember the day... in the fourth year, it was about March or April when they called us into a room, all the people that are in our class. And we had no idea what they were going to say, maybe some problem, or that they were going to tell us that they had to leave a couple people go from our class. We just didn't know what. And I remember that day when they said, the bishop has decided, upon consulting with the formators, that those of you in this room will be ordained this June. And that was the June of 2004.
Okay.
And I still remember a meeting with Archbishop Chaput. He put on a breakfast for us down in the basement of the cathedral where we were to be ordained in some hours later. And he came around to each table, meeting with usually two or three candidates, then candidates, and their wives. And I remember him coming to the table, and he said, "Is there anybody here that doesn't feel like they're worthy of being ordained?" And, of course, we all say, "Yes, yes, Excellency." And he said, well, I'm not worthy to be bishop, but the church has looked at you and the church has decided that you will help the church and that you will help in the mission of spreading the gospel. And so long story short, he ordained us a couple hours later, and it's been a great experience, not without problems, challenges, but next to faith and my marriage, it's been God's greatest gift.
Well, that's wonderful. That's fantastic. You know, I could echo much of what you said, you know, as a priest, you know, and of course, priests share in the diaconate as well, you know, and that Absolutely. Service, you know. And what are some areas of ministry that you feel as a deacon as your real call, you know, that, because like you said, you know, most, I think when people think of the diaconate, they think, oh, I'm going to be up there at the altar helping out and preaching and things like that. But there's so much more to the diaconate, isn't there? You know, what are some of those things?
Definitely.
What are some of those things that really, you know, you find bring you spiritual life?
Well, I would say that the work that I did the longest and the most of was visiting the elderly and the sick in nursing homes or in their homes. People that many of them were lonely or worried about what was going to happen with them. And you come to know them in a completely different dimension than just seeing them and shaking hands at church or something. And so that has been something that I've done for a lot of years. I've enjoyed that, and I feel that it has helped others in ways that, you know, I'll know much later in eternity, I guess.
Yeah.
I've gone with him on some of those visits, and it's just... It's a blessing to see the faces light up when not only a clergy, but just anybody comes in right. to visit them. It's just wonderful.
Oh, it is. That's what
it's a much needed ministry.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. I my high school job was at a nursing home, and I realized that very early on that many people, especially in nursing homes, don't get visitors on a regular basis. So that's a great ministry. That really is. You know, speaking of accompanying him, Dee, what has kind of been your experience as the wife of a deacon? What has that been like for you?
Well, I feel like I'm the person that has to stand back and keep him on track, especially when he was doing so much, and help him remember things. And I remember when we were still in Colorado when he was ordained, and I think I was worried a little bit about how would the parish or how would my friends in the parish react or relate to me? Would it change our relationship any? And it really didn't. I'm kind of worried about that for nothing. It really didn't.
That's good. That's good.
I want to mention that I have enjoyed some other areas. Sadly, I'm not doing too much of them now. I'll explain that in a minute. But two of the areas that I've been able to help in, I did RCIA, I think, for either 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. And to begin a journey with people who come to a class who are, I guess, a little nervous or frightened, or do they really want to do this? They may be intimidated. Up in Denver, we were required to wear cleric. And so to come to a class where you're talking to someone or listening to someone who's in black has a meaning right away. Huh? And so to journey from there to Easter Vigil has been just a glorious, glorious gift. And I remember one couple. There was a baptism. The husband had been accompanying his wife to church for all the years of their marriage, but he was never Catholic, and he finally came into the church. And the baptismal font that we had in our parish had a light underneath the bowl, so it shined up through the water. And the picture that someone took was of that husband, and the baptismal waters were coming down as little droplets lit by the light. It was It was beautifully symbolic, absolutely
awesome.
Wonderfully symbolic. And there have been others that we've been able to accompany on the journey. So that's been a great gift.
We did marriage prep for a couple of years, too, together there. Mm-hmm. So and you know, deacons are allowed to marry couples, and sure. Tom did marry quite a few. And in fact, just within the past week, somebody he married in 2007 just tracked him down and got in touch with him again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's been a great joy. I smilingly said that I'm not able to do that ministry so much now. We're in an older age area of Arizona, a lot of retirees, so there's not too many marriages.
Well, speaking of retirement.
Oh, yes. Yeah. The Archdiocese of Denver has a retirement policy. Dear, I'm going to have to reveal my age.
Uh-oh.
So they have a retirement policy of 75, and you're required to submit your retirement paperwork to the bishop, just as, I guess, bishops do to the Holy Father, etc. And so I submitted my retirement paperwork to Denver, where I'm still incardinated, and that paperwork flowed to Arizona, and they have accepted my retirement, so I'm on, what would be the correct words, limited duty at the parish, but still very active with Catholic Radio.
Right.
That's good. That's good.
Everybody kept asking me, what's he going to do when he retires? And I went, he's not going to be retired.
You may be officially retired, but that doesn't mean
yes, right.
Well, if it's like anybody, a lot of people I know, they retire and they're busier than they were before they retired. So
exactly.
Amen. Amen. Well, and Dee has picked up. She's visiting some elderly now. So she's staying busy in our retirement, quotes.
No, that's wonderful that you're able to keep the ministry going, you know, and it's something that's so needed, you know, in that, especially in that area. I'm sure, like you said, there it's a older population, so I'm sure there's more people there who need that ministry. That's awesome. And then, of course, you've got your Catholic vitamins that you're doing.
Amen. Amen.
So, well, excellent. You know, believe me, I wish I had a deacon. You guys can move up here if you want to deal with the cold during the winter.
How about, would you be interested in a summertime deacon?
I've often joked, I need to find a priest who likes it really hot and really cold. So they could be down there during the summer and come up here during the winter and I'll trade them.
Right.
Yeah.
It got kind of cold in Estes Park, Colorado, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's where we were living at the time. Yeah.
Yeah, that area can get a little chilly at times too, I know.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, right now it's warm here, so that's nice. Not going to trade out for anything, so. Well, excellent. Excellent. Well, I think that would be a good point. We can move over to our picks of the week that we've done. You know, of course, since you're longtime listeners, SQPN, you know, we've been doing that with like Catholic Weekend for a long time. So I'll let you guys go first. I'll let you guys can toss a coin to see who gets to pick first. So.
Oh. Well, Dee says that I'm up first. So I have here at my right, I don't know if Father can see it, but I have Father Simon Lobo's new book called Divine Renovation Apprentice, Learning to Lead a Disciple-Making Parish. We interviewed Father Lobo, who's with the Companions of the Cross, a couple shows ago. And if anybody has patience with going back to one of our earlier podcasts, it was a wonderful interview. He's a young 9-year ordained priest, on fire for the love of God and for the people of God. And so Divine Renovation is a sort of one of these many programs that are now available for helping to transform the parish. And he was assigned as an associate pastor to come to a parish, and he learned from the pastor about how to renew the parish. He said it was powerful. And he was writing a blog at that time about the things that he was learning, mostly from the pastor, but from the people as well. And so he wrote this book, Divine Renovation Apprentice, Learning to Lead a Disciple-Making Parish. And it's by the Word Among Us Press. So that's my pick of the day.
Interesting. You have to check that out.
Mine is a DVD series called Real Life Catholic.
And
have you seen those on EWTN?
Oh, yes, yes. I've visited with him about that. Those are fantastic videos.
Yeah, well, we knew who Chris was. And so when I first saw that those were going to start on EWTN, I hit the record button to record them right away. And then we started watching them. We loved them so much that we ordered the DVD series.
Nice.
And we've shared this with several people. They're just wonderful. He just goes around the country interviewing people and people that have a tie to the Catholic faith. And it's just, they're just wonderful, refreshing things to watch.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. We had Chris Stefanik up in this area a couple of years ago, right? When he was really working on that project, first starting that project, and had the opportunity to discuss with him about it and got to see some of the, you know, like one of the first videos, the kind of the pilot they put out, you know, that they sent to EWTN, and just amazing project. They really have done a wonderful job of just showing living the Catholic faith in your daily lives, you know, and it's normal people. It's not clergy. It's not people who work for the church as a living by and large. It's people who just, they have their daily lives and they're Catholic. And that's yeah. Great recommendation. Well, you both have picked very good spiritual ones. Now I'm doing something a little more common. Actually, it's something that our my diocese did for the insurance. You know, of course, a lot of places do you know, the health insurance, and there's all the things you need to do along with that that encourage you to live healthy. And they got kind of these neat water bottles by a company called Bevgo, and it's a 32-ounce water bottle. You know, big water bottle. It's marked for how much water you should be drinking throughout the day. So you should fill this thing up twice a day, 64 ounces. And, you know, every hour you should drink this much water. You know, it's marked, you know, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and so on. But it's a really good water bottle. It's got a nice sleeve, kind of like almost like a wetsuit type material to kind of insulate it. It's got a cover that really seals it so you can, you know, turn it over and it won't leak. It's kind of a nice bottle. It really wasn't that expensive. I was looking online. They're only about $15 on Amazon. But it's convenient to have around to have a good water bottle around, because, of course, you know, they always say you got to drink lots of water during the day.
And take note of that, Tom.
Believe me, until I got this thing, I was horrible about, I might have, you know, a cup of coffee in the morning, and, you know, I might walk past the water cooler and grab a quick shot of water or whatever. This has got me drinking a lot more water, so I wanted to do this as my pick of the week here at some point to kind of promote it, because it is a good practice to get into. It improves health, and that's something I've been trying to do for myself, doing more healthy eating.
I've seen some of your posts. Yes,
yep, you have been
on it. Health kick.
For those who don't follow me on Facebook, I've been doing more doing a running program where I kind of build up. I think I did as a pick of the week a couple of weeks ago, that couch to 5K. But it's, you know, I've been trying to be healthier, you know, and it's important to be healthy, you know, to be healthy, not just so that we live longer, but because this is, our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. They're gifts from God. We need to care for them. So drinking more water is one way to do that. So,
Couch to 5K. That's a cute
yeah.
title.
And believe me, for me, it really was couch, but I'm almost to the 5K point now. I was a couch potato. So
wow.
very appropriate. Well, I want to thank you both for being on. This was awesome. You know, you guys have been, again, part of the SQPN community for a long time, and you've been active doing your own podcast. So it's been great to have you on and give you a chance to promote your podcast and talk about the diaconate. Why don't you mention where can people find you? Where can they find your great podcast?
So we're at CatholicVitamins.com. Our radio station is KPIH. www.kpihradio.com, and you can send an email if you had some reason to do an outreach to catholicvitamins@gmail.com.
Right. And you're on Facebook?
Yes.
Tom or Thomas?
You know, I think at one time Facebook didn't want titles, so I had Thomas. They took Deacon away.
Right.
And then I finally got that back, so I'm on two places.
Okay. And I'm on Facebook also, DFox.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, I've had the same thing happen. That's why I've got my regular profile is just Corey Sticha, S-T-I-C-H-A, and then Father Corey Sticha is my page that I do so that I can at least still say I'm Father. Yeah, and so you can...
Thank you for the gift of allowing us to come on and talk a little bit about our journey. And blessings on your ministry, Father. Thank you for your yes to the Lord Jesus.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And thank you for your yes as well. So, and you can find me on Facebook, as I said, Father Corey Sticha, last name spelled S-T-I-C-H-A. My personal website is frcorey.org, where I post my homilies. And again, you can leave us feedback for Let's Talk at Let's Talk, all one word, no apostrophe, at sqpn.com. Thank you very much again for joining us for this episode, and God bless.